So, today is, as Laurie reminded us, she reminded us it's 2018. This is our first Sunday together in 2018. And given that, I want to take some time this morning, if I can, and it won't be that long, to speak to you guys about the next season in the life of our church. We are a church. We're a kingdom community belonging to Jesus. That's what we are. If you're visiting here today, and I know there are some that are visiting with us, that's who we are. We're a church. We're a kingdom community that belong to Jesus. And we are submitted to his headship. He is the one over this church. And we come in under his authority, and we're committed to his purpose. That's what we're about. That's why we gather. That's why we do the things we do that you just heard about again this morning during the announcements. So, as in the past, so in the present and in the future, it's important for us as a church to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. Now, we are part of the whole church. Jesus Christ has a very, very big church spread out all over this world. We are just one tiny little slither of a very, very big church that belongs to Jesus Christ. But we are a part of the whole church. And so we need to hear what God is saying to the whole church, of which we are a part. But we also need to hear what God is saying to us as a particular church, as one of the churches that make up that very big church that belongs to Jesus. And for those of you that are familiar with it, and for those of you that aren't, I'm going to mention that in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, which is the last book in the Bible, we get Jesus Christ speaking to seven actual churches in real time then in Asia Minor. And if you're interested in that, it makes an amazing read. I preached a series on the letters to those seven churches many years ago and really, really plumbed kind of some of the depths of that revelation contained in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 and the message that Jesus was speaking to each of those churches. But what that tells us is this, that God has a word to each particular church, not just a word for his universal church. And at the end of each of those messages that Jesus brings to those seven different churches in Asia Minor, he says this: to him that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And he repeats that refrain all the way through the specific letters that he writes and speaks to those different churches. In every season of our life as a church, the Vineyard Church of Greater Portland, it's been important for us to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. And it continues to be important, not just to hear it, but to actually embrace it, to lay hold of it. And when we do that, we do something that Paul exhorts us to do in the New Testament. And it's this: keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5:25, the second part of that verse, Paul says, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has not stopped speaking. I hope you appreciate that in your own personal life and in our corporate life, that the Holy Spirit has not stopped speaking. He didn't stop speaking when the canon of Scripture was put together. He is still speaking today. And it's important that we don't stop listening. Because if we think he stopped speaking, we're not going to be listening. But he is still speaking, so we need to be listening. The Spirit has not stopped moving in the earth. God is still accomplishing his purpose, and it's important for the people of God, it's important for us as a church, to move together with him into all that he has for us. It's important for the Evangelical Free Church just down the road to do that. It's important for the saints gathered at North Windham Assembly of God to do that. It's important for us to do that. So to understand where we are with God now and where we're going with God in the next season of our community life as a church, we need to do two things. One, we need to rehearse and remember what it is that the Spirit of God has said to us as a community when He's spoken His word in the past. It's important not to kick over the traces and forget what God has said in the past. Because there's a connection between what God said in the past, what He's saying in the present, and what He's saying in the future. Which is why we, when we pick up the scriptures, look not just to what God said, is saying to us today through the scriptures, but what He said through those scriptures in the past. That's the first thing. The second thing we need to do is recognize what the Spirit of God is saying to us now, not just what He said to us in the past. Because when we do that and lay hold of it, then the change that God is looking to bring about in our life personally and in our life corporately, both in the present and the future, will become a reality as we keep in step with the Spirit of God and what the Spirit of God is doing. So there are two things we need to do. We need to lay hold of what God said in the past so that we have continuity with the past as we experience the present and move into the future. And then we need to lay hold of what it is the Spirit is saying now so that the change that God intends in the future is something we're a part of, because we're keeping in step with where the Spirit is going. So I want to talk for a moment just briefly about continuity. This is very important to get a hold of. While the Lord has spoken many words to us over the past 24 years, and we just completed our 24th year as a church, which says something about God's faithfulness. You know, now we're still pretty much on the front edge of things. I mean, the First Baptist Church on Kenko Road has been there for about 200 years or something, okay? But that, nonetheless, is a testament to God's faithfulness. And in the last 24 years, there have been lots of words that God has spoken to this church at different times to provide different emphases in different seasons, to give us direction, encouragement. Some years ago, the Lord spoke to us some compelling words about what our mission and vision should be as a church, and gave us language to express that. And for those of you that are newer to the church, I just want to rehearse what that is this morning very, very briefly, because this provides us continuity with God's revelation to us as a local church in the past. And it's really important that we lay hold of that. So I want to talk just briefly about our mission and our vision statement and the language that the Lord gave us for that. When it comes to our mission statement, this is what we aspire to be under God and by faith claim to be: a passionate, Spirit-empowered community who follow Jesus. We're not interested in following anybody else. We're only interested in following Jesus. Celebrate God and expect His presence. And we equip each other to serve and impact our neighborhood and the nations. God has got a mission He's called us into. It's His mission, not ours. We cooperate with Him in His mission, and that mission is both local, translocal, and global. And so we want to make sure that we're equipping ourselves to serve and impact our neighborhood. You just heard, as Chad was making those announcements this morning, what's going to be happening down in Riverton. That's right in our neighborhood. We want to impact that neighborhood practically with the love of God. But we also want to be committed to God's mission, which goes beyond just our locale. It's actually a global one, which is why we're involved in Spain, which is why at the end of this month we're taking a team to Haiti, which is why we support Emmeline Hart and what she's doing with Heidi Baker's ministry in Mozambique. God's got a global vision as well as a local one, and we want to be engaged in both. So that's our mission: to be a passionate, Spirit-empowered community who follow Jesus, who celebrate God and expect His presence in our lives and in our community life as a church, and in our missional endeavor as we reach out and we equip each other to serve and impact our neighborhood and the nations. And when it comes to our vision, The mission statement says who we are, why we exist. The vision says where we're going and what it is we look to accomplish. And the language that the Lord gave us simply to state what that vision is in one sentence is this: we are a people for Christ, for the kingdom of God, and for the world. That's what we're about. We're about Jesus and being for him. We're about his kingdom, his rule and reign, and we're for the world that for whom God sent his son. That's our vision. And God really laid this on my heart some years ago, that we are to be a people who are for and not against. I'll leave others to be against. We're interested in being for, having a faith-filled, positive vision that comes from God through the Spirit, based on the authority of his word, to do what it is God wants us to do in the earth, which is to spread abroad the glory of his name, the grace of his gospel, and the love of his Father heart. And in our vision statement, we have 10 things we say we're for, and I'm not going to go into this elaborately this morning. I'm just going to list them off. If you want to see how these things break down, there are like four aspects to each of these. We articulate and lay all this out on our website. But we are for worship. We are for worship because that's what we were created to do, to be worshipers of God. When we gather on Sunday morning, by the way, we do not come here to be entertained. Let me just say this parenthetically. This is something, it's a little soapbox I'm getting on right now, because I keep hearing, we do not come to church Sunday morning to be entertained, to have our fancy tickled, whatever that is. That is not why we come to church. If you're coming to church to be entertained, then you have a radical misunderstanding of why we gather on Sunday mornings. As the body of Christ, we come here to worship God, to encounter him, to give him the glory that's due his name and nature. That's why we gather, and to have fellowship as we do, and to pray for one another, and to do it with joy in our hearts and a smile on our face. But we come to worship God, not to be entertained. It's not about us, it's about him. Amen. And us gathering together to give him what he is due. And when we do that, he lavishes his grace and favor upon us through the Spirit. That's just a parenthesis. These are the things we are for then. We are for worship. We are for the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God in our own lives, in the life of our church, in the life of this broken and botched up world that we're a part of right now. We are for community, the community in koinonia, of the Spirit, but for reaching out to the community of which we're a part with the love of Jesus. We're for service, serving God, serving one another, and serving people. We're for stewardship, stewarding what God has given us, his manifold grace, Peter calls it. Stewarding the gifts that God has entrusted to us. Stewarding the resources that God has given to us. Stewarding everything that the Lord has entrusted to us in terms of his purpose. Stewarding the earth of which we're a part. We're for growth, spiritual growth and numerical growth. We want to see our lives become transformed. We want to become more like the Jesus that we're following. We don't want to be static spiritually. We want to change those bad attitudes that grab our heart and that we hold on to and that we kind of nurture along. God wants those things crucified in us so that we can be changed into his image. We want that. We want spiritual growth. But we want to see people get saved. We want to see people get touched and brought into a relationship with Jesus and become part of a spiritual family, whether it's this one or another one. As long as it's a family that loves Jesus and follows him, that's the key thing, that when people come to him, they get engrafted in to God's body. We're for the church. We cheer for the church. We are not in competition with other churches. We want to cheer for them. We spent, I think, about 3 years here every Sunday, and we'll probably do it again at some point in the future, praying for churches all over this state every single Sunday. We took about 5 or 6 minutes and prayed for churches. And we did that for several years. And as I say, we'll probably do that again. We're for the church because they belong to us. We belong to them. One of the things that's been so amazingly hurtful, I'm sure, to the heart of God over the last 2,000 years have been the divisions within Christendom, the divisions within the church. We belong to the same family. We all have the same Lord, the same head, and we want to cheer and support the other churches. We're for the city of which we're a part. We're not here to criticize the city, beat up on the city, throw theological hand grenades at the city. We are here to love the city and be for the city of which we're a part. If the city prospers, if we prosper as God's people, this city will be prospering as well as we touch it with the love and grace of God. We're for social justice, and so is God. Jesus says more about the treatment of the poor in the New Testament than he does about many other things. And also, we're for mission. We want to be in process of going into the world and accomplishing what it is that God wants to accomplish through us. So that mission and vision speak to our identity as a church. And I just wanted to rehearse that, because for some of you, you may not have read that on the website. This may be new to you. You're newer to the church. But I also want to make something else clear. Those things I've just talked about in terms of our mission and vision, they are not seasonal. They are constant and continuous. There is continuity from the past into the present and into the future. Those things do not change. We're not suddenly not going to be for worship. We're not in a new season not going to be for the rule and reign of God, his kingdom coming in the earth. We're not suddenly at some point in the future not going to be for God's mission. These are things that are constants biblically and part of the mission and vision God's given us. But having said that, God's also speaking to us in each season and saying new things and putting emphasis on things and communicating to us through the Spirit, just as Jesus did to those seven churches in Asia Minor in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Because God is always looking to bring change, not for the sake of change, but so that we can become who God intends that we should be in him. That's true personally, and that's true in our life as a church. So I want to take the rest of this time this morning, and it's not going to be very long, to just speak to you a little bit about what I sense and the leadership team, and by that I'm referring to the elders of the church specifically right now, what the leadership team senses God is saying to us now in this season through his Spirit and leading us into for the season that lies ahead. And in that sense, what I want to talk about now is not continuity, but change. The continuity is the mission and vision, but what God is saying to us now and what he's going to lead us into in the future is going to be the degree of change that God is bringing in this next season. During the last year, Ruth and I have spent some time in our own lives taking spiritual inventory. I don't know if you do that from time to time. I don't think I do that as often as I need to. But in this past year, the Lord has really been speaking to us about taking spiritual inventory in our own lives, where we are spiritually with God, what God wants from us, where God is leading us, what he's doing in our own marriage and in our own lives. And it's been a fruitful thing, and it's ongoing. But at the same time that we have been engaged in that, we've also been taking inventory together as the pastoral couple that have oversight in the church in that regard as to where we are as a church right now in this season, given the history that we've had over the past, 23 years leading into this year, 24 years nearly now. And last summer, as part of that process, Ruth came to me, and just reverted back to English there for a moment. It comes out every now and then. So last summer, Ruth came to me one day, and she said, I really sense that the Lord has spoken to me, and I have a word, and I think this word is for our church. And as I told the ministry leaders yesterday morning when I met with them here for a couple of hours, I've learned over the last 39 years that I've been married to my wife that when she comes to me and says, I have a word from the Lord, that I really need to listen up. Actually, I've also learned that even when she comes to me and she says, I have something to say and it's not from the Lord, I still need to listen up. So she told me in all seriousness, she said, I think I have this word from the Lord for our church, and it's this, simplify to revitalize. And when she first said it to me, I was kind of like, okay, all right. And I asked her to kind of give me a sense of what she thought that might mean. And then, you know, that we prayed and we left the conversation there. And I had this thing kind of like marinating around in my spirit and thought, okay, I'm going to pray into that and see if God gives me some further kind of insight into what this word means. I spent time thinking about it, praying about it. And I began to think, as soon as she said simplify, I began to think about the spiritual discipline of simplicity. I don't know how many of you have ever read, I know a bunch of you have here, Richard Foster's seminal book on the spiritual disciplines, one of which is simplicity. And I began to think about simplicity and how simplicity is always a part of the kingdom journey that we're on with God, and that sometimes in our personal lives, things kind of get complicated, and we need to simplify in order to revitalize our personal relationship with Jesus. And how that what's true personally can also be true corporately. I love J.B. Phillips. I don't know how many of you have ever read J.B. Phillips' translation of the New Testament. But he renders Ecclesiastes 7:30 this way. God made man simple. Man's complex problems are his own devising. That God made man simple. Man's complex problems are of his own devising. Sometimes we complicate what actually is a very simple reality. It's no less profound because of its simplicity. But it is a very simple reality. The simplicity of who God is, who we are, who we've been called to be in him, and what it is the Lord has for us, both now and in terms of our eternal destiny. So simplicity can revitalize us personally, but it can also do that corporately. So as I thought about this word, I just came to see, yeah, to simplify is to revitalize, and that this word was not just a word about simplicity for simplicity's sake, but simplicity for the purpose of bringing revitalization. What does it mean to revitalize? It means to give new life. That's what the word revitalize means. It means to give new life. It means to give new vitality to something. And I think the Lord is talking about bringing new life and new vitality to us as a church. Then in the fall, Laurie came to me, this is past fall, and shared a word with me that she also sensed was from the Lord for the church. And actually, it was a word that she had shared with me before the previous year. One day, Jim and Laurie were over at our house, and Jim and I think and Ruth were in the living room talking about worship and something for kids, and we landed up being in the kitchen talking, sat at the table, and Laurie shared this word with me then. And then she brought this, and she told me what she thought it meant, and I was like, maybe, okay. Just truth in advertising here, guys. I said, I kind of said, yeah, okay. You know, I did the pastoral thing. I listened, and I nodded, and I said, yeah. Thank you, Laurie, for that word. And inside, I'm thinking, yeah, I'm not sure about that. I did listen ultimately. In all seriousness, I did have that. I took that word with me into 2017 when Chad was planning out and we were talking. He was planning out a lot of the outreach strategy for the year and different things he was going to be doing and also connect events and things like that. I was thinking a lot about this word that she had shared with me back in the previous year about bring the family together. That was the word, bring the family together. So something I want to mention here that's important too. Not that I'm some authority on prophetic words, because I'm not, but I know this from the scripture, that when a prophetic word comes or impression, it's important to do a number of things. First, to hear clearly what God's saying. And I feel in this case that both Ruth and Laurie heard clearly what God was saying to them for our church. But it's one thing to hear what God's saying. It's quite another thing to interpret it correctly and then apply it in the way that God intends. And sometimes with prophetic words, historically, not in the context of this church, but just out there in the broader body of Christ, sometimes why people run into problems with prophecy is they hear the word properly and clearly, but they don't interpret it correctly, and therefore they don't apply it in the way that God intends, and then problems follow from that. So I'm thinking about these two words, and I'm thinking, Lord, what do they really mean, and how should they apply in the next season of our church life? At a scheduled elders meeting back in September of this year, of last year, at Bruce and Myla's house, I asked Ruth and Laurie to share those words with the leadership team. And they were all there except Jeff and Robin. Jeff was at a conference, a management conference, out in Las Vegas. And so they were away at that time, but the rest of the team was there, and I shared this word. I had Laurie and Ruth share these words and what they sensed about them with the team, and then I asked each member of the leadership team to share what their take was on these words, how they understood them, what they understood them to mean, how they thought they might apply to our church. And I went into kind of, for the most part, a listening mode, took a lot of notes on my phone that I could take away and process with me, which I did afterwards, and revisit and look at and pray into. And then later, just very recently, was able to get together with Jeff and Robin because he's had a very busy schedule, and then I was away for a lot of November when my mother was ill, and so we had not been able to get together, but I got together with them recently, and they shared some really good counsel and insight and their take on what those words meant. It just solidified some things for me and brought some clarity to me. And through this process, it's become evident to me that this phrase, simplify to revitalize, is a prophetic prism, a grid through which God wants me and us, the leadership team, and us as a church, to evaluate what we are doing, how we're doing what we're doing, and how in the future God wants us to do what it is he's entrusted to us. It also became clear to me that bring the family together was a prophetic exhortation, an admonition, and an invitation from the Lord to us. And I began to see how those two words actually fit together. And that one of the primary ways to simplify in order to revitalize is to bring the family together. Now, you may be thinking, duh, took you a while to get there? Yes, it did. But I have conviction about that, that this is not just a couple of good ideas from Ruth and Laurie, but this is the Spirit speaking to this church in this season and for the season to come. Now, it's not that we haven't been doing things to bring the church together. We've been doing things. Jim leads the Alive Worship Night, which is a time for all of us, by the way, to come together and worship. Chad has been heading up and putting together with Young Sook. It was originally, I think, Young Sook's idea that he branded Vineyard Table. And we've been doing that. And it's an opportunity for the whole church to come together. You know, we have ongoing our commitment to life groups, which obviously you can't bring the whole church together in one person's home, but it's an opportunity to activate the whole community in coming together and building community and making friendship. So there are ways in which we have been doing that, but I feel like the Lord is speaking to us about a new season and new things that God wants us to do. And so because of that, there are some decisions that I've taken. I've communicated with the leadership team. They're supportive of these. And I just want to share those with you right now, as I did with at least one of them with the ministry leaders yesterday morning when I met with them. And the first is we're going to move permanently and indefinitely from two services to one on Sunday morning. So what we're doing here this morning and we've done for the last 2 weeks, we did once back in the fall, and we did it when we bookended the VBS week back in the summer, is we're going to do one service. And that service will take place here, same time as taking place today, at 10 o'clock. So we're no longer going to have 9 and 11 o'clock services. We're going to meet at 10, and we're going to bring the family together as it is at this point on Sunday morning so that we can worship God together. And I there is a sense, not just in my spirit and that of the leaders, I think, but across the church, of an expectation. And I'm not trying to manufacture something here. This is something God is doing. An excitement building. There's something going. I believe God is going to release something as we respond to the word that the Spirit is initiating. And if we don't do that, then you know, we're going to be banging our head up against the revelation of God and never stepping into it. So that's the first thing we're going to do. So going forward, one 10 o'clock service, and I can tell you that is going to simplify things around here. I woke up this morning and I thought, and the last couple weeks, I told Chad, I'm thinking, man, I've been doing two services, you know, both as the lead pastor and then working under Phil for about 22, almost 23 years. I'm thinking, I don't know what to do with myself the first part of Sunday morning. We've got so much time. But in all seriousness, it is going to simplify things. For those of you that have ministries that you lead with schedules on Sunday morning, obviously it is going to make life simpler in that sense. But I think there's something bigger going on here. It's not simplicity for its own sake. It's about breathing new life in to who we are, what we're doing as a church. I'm excited about it. I know that over the last several weeks, this was true in the fall. It was true back in the summer because I was away during that week, but Chad told me about it. Just a spontaneous excitement about that reality. People speaking to us saying, you know, it's so good to be together. It's so good to see one another. And, of course, you can see one another at other times, okay? Life groups, Vineyard Table, Alive Worship Nights, Connect events, okay? I'm just you know, pushing that too. You can see one another then too. But there's something great about coming together as the family. And so that's what we're going to be doing. This does not mean that we don't want to see the church grow. In fact, we're doing it in part because we do want to see that happen. And you know, a crowd draws a crowd. That's a reality. But the bigger thing, I think, is what the Holy Spirit's doing in our midst. And I expect to see more change coming in the wake of that. Here's another couple of things that we're going to do. Chad and I teach Intersections, which is the Vineyard Leadership course, membership course, rather. If you want to become a member of this church, you go through Intersections. That is a 101, 201, 301, 401 process. And we have been doing it for the last number of years over 4 weeks. We are now going to simplify that and do it in one day. And we're going to move it, instead of having four weeks spread out and a month to do that process, we're going to do it in one day. For those of you that had to go through the 4 weeks, sorry, tough. But we're going to do it in one day. We're going to do it on Saturdays. We'll do it very much like we used to do an intensive with E3. And so from kind of 9 until 4 on a Saturday, we will do our membership course on Intersections. And that will simplify that whole process, both for us and but for those that are going through it. Okay. Life groups. Up to this point, we've done life groups for a whole number of years with the template of trimesters, and we're going to keep doing that, but we've done them for 10 weeks each trimester, and Barb and I have been having a discussion about this through the fall while all of this was kind of coming together, and we're going to reduce life groups from 10 weeks to 8. So in part, to simplify it, it will simplify the time commitment that people have, we think that that will be a positive thing. And so we're going to do that going forward from this very next trimester when we start life groups. Instead of 10 weeks, they will be 8. Also, something we've already done Chad really came up with this idea. I think it was actually Chris. Libby mentioned it when we, Chris, I think, came up with this idea initially, then Chad took it and ran with it. It was the, when we were at that leadership meeting I referred to at Bruce and Milo's back last September, came up with the idea of taking the Alive worship nights and the Vineyard table and bringing them together into kind of one extended event rather than having two separate events and two separate commitments. It was a way of simplifying that. And we're going to continue to do that because it's been done, I think, twice now and got really positive feedback and increased participation in the church from doing that. That's another way of simplifying. So right now in this season, these are just four things. This is not an exhaustive list of the ways in which God is going to simplify in order to revitalize and bring our family together in order to do that. But these are some of them. This is a beginning. And obviously the move to one service is a pretty significant thing. Okay, so one service, 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. Intersections is going to be on one day instead of over 4 weeks. Life groups will move from 10 weeks to 8. And we're going to continue with Live and the Vineyard table together. And as part of this ongoing process, I said yesterday morning to the ministry leaders when I gathered with them that I'm going to be setting up meetings with them over the next several months, in part to get their input into this process, their ideas and their sense of how we can do things to simplify and revitalize and how we can bring the family together more effectively. So I'll be looking forward to that. Let me end just with saying this. We are not a religious club. We are a people belonging to God. You know, clubs, people get together because they have shared interest. We don't get together because we have a shared interest. We get together because we share a common life in the Spirit. We have been born of the Spirit of God. That is the basis of our community. We have fellowship. Koinonia is the Greek word in the New Testament, which is fellowship in the Spirit because we have been born of the Spirit. That's what sets the Church of Jesus Christ apart from any other group on this planet. We are not a religious club. We are a people born of the Spirit of God. And therefore, we want to live in the Spirit. And Paul says in Galatians 5:25, we live in the Spirit. And he says, since we live in the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. And that's what we want to do. Amen? Yeah. We want to keep in step with this. We want to live in the Spirit. But we want to keep in step with the Spirit. What he's doing, we want to do. Where he's going, we want to go. What he's saying, we want to hear. What he's calling us to, we want to respond to. And when we do that, we won't have any problem with revitalization. It'll happen organically. God will make it happen. Because where God is, there is life. Remember what Jesus said? That he came to bring life. And life abundantly. Life fully. So that's where we are. That's where we're going. It's part of a process. We're not at an end. This is a new beginning. God is doing new things. I'm stoked and excited, you know, even here in my 63rd year now, at what God is going to do in our midst. And I hope you are too. I encourage you to pray about this. Be an active participatory part of what God is doing now and in the season that lies ahead.